Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network. Is there an end to Lilith's power, or does she just keep getting better? Well, today we're going to be talking about Lilith from the Borderlands video game franchise and other Borderlands things. You know, who influenced her? Who is she influencing in the story of the video game franchise known as Borderlands? I am Joshua Knoll, here with the one, the only, Pod Almighty, TJ Tiberius Swan Blackwell, Claptrap Apologist. Yep. I just don't think there's much need for that. Just a good character.
A lot of people really do hate Claptrap. He's funny.
They're wrong. Guy. Yeah, correct. With that, though, we are going to mention what we've been geeking out on lately. Mine's cheating, but Will always says everybody geeks out on something. And this last weekend, I got to go to Mammoth Cave National Park, and we're going to go to Cumberland Island National Park later this year, me and my wife. And I just started looking up other national parks I want to go to and try to make like future plans. So and we found a little pin at the gift shop that said National Park Geek. And I was like, yeah, I guess that counts. So I'm geeking out on national parks today. Yeah. Yeah. DJ, what have you been geeking out on these days?
I don't know if you can geek out on like one movie, but I've watched Wake Up Dead Man like 3 times in the past several days.
Is that the Glass Onions?
Yeah, it's the third one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to watch that so bad.
It's so good.
It's just so hard to find time to do such things sometimes.
It's actually incredible. Mm-hmm. I might start watching it right now while we do this.
I hope you don't, because you know a lot more about this video game franchise than me. But... guys, let us know what you've been geeking out on. Rate and review the show wherever you get your podcast. It really helps the algorithms and stuff. It tricks people into thinking our show is important when you rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. So we do appreciate that. We also appreciate our financial supporters. Today, we want to shout out James Barrett. James, thank you so much for sponsoring our show. You rock, dude. And guys, if you want your own shout out like James, you can become an official member of Systematic Ecology on our website in the show's description. Also, there are plenty of other things you can do on that website. You can get merch. You can leave a one-time donation if you don't want to become a member. You can see some of the extra content we have over there. But the merch, if you like a purple t-shirt, our Faces Behind Us series that we're doing today, that shirt actually looks pretty good in purple. So if you want to, most of our shirts really don't. If you're looking for a good purple t-shirt, comfort colors, really comfy, kind of like a thick thread count, it's nice.
Yeah, so I love a purple shirt.
Yeah, but TJ also likes a simple shirt, so that's why... you should look at the TJ quote on the back if you want a more simple design. It probably also looks good in purple.
Almost definitely.
Yeah. Well, guys, we do want to let you know, if you want to hear more of our Faces Behind Us series, it's our annual theme this year where we're talking just about the characters behind the main characters of some of our favorite franchises. If you want to hear more from the main playlist episodes we're doing with the annual theme, there's a link down in the show description for that as well. There's lots of links down there. Make sure you check it all out and... lots of ways to enjoy what we're doing here and to participate. So I want to encourage you to do that. But for now, we are going to go ahead and jump into the topic of today's episode, Sonic the Hedgehog. No. Sonic. Borderlands. We're talking about Borderlands. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the character Lilith. But first, TJ, for those who just maybe are less aware, what is Borderlands? And when did you first play any game from this franchise?
Yeah, Borderlands is the looter shooter, is how I would describe it. It's a super fun first person. It's kind of an RPG. It's kind of not, but action RPG. It's a ton of fun. Shoot 'em up, loot 'em up. Class-based system. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's just like the progenitor of the looter shooter genre, really. And it earned its flowers, you know. Borderlands 4 came out kind of to some applause because Borderlands 3 wasn't that great. The series has had its ups and downs, certainly. But for me, it started probably like the year Borderlands 2 came out. Borderlands 2 was the first one that I played and loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and play Borderlands 1 and then the pre-sequel, and then Borderlands 3 came out. I've not played 4. Borderlands 3 bothered me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've played all of them. I've played some of 4. I eventually beat 3. I think the first one I played was the pre-sequel, and I did play 1. I played because of my roommate in college. He had it. The biggest problem that I had is I kept getting it confused with Fallout. I'm like, oh, I want to play that game. But then I started playing Fallout, and I'm like, man, this just is not as funny as I remembered. I love Fallout.
Yeah.
But when you're expecting Borderlands, Fallout is just not the same. It's kind of like when you're like expecting soda and you get sweet tea. Okay, how much you like sweet tea, but if you think you're drinking Coke, it's not good.
Yeah, unless you're like in specific parts of New Vegas, Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, I could see it.
Then
yeah.
It's just not the same.
Yeah. I think, to me, if you're familiar with Ratchet and Clank, how Deadpool relates to Spider-Man, I think, is Borderlands to Ratchet and Clank. Because it's like you could tell the similarities. They're very obviously not the same character. Similar sense of humor. And one is very much for more mature audiences, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But Borderlands is crude and crass and a ton of fun. And I think a lot of people agree that Borderlands 2 is the best one in the series, which sounds like the only one that Josh hasn't played, which makes sense. That's also, that's what those characters are from right there.
I would love to play Borderlands 2.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably good.
So much content for me to catch up on, really. I was allowed to do a lot of things until I was 18. And then I'm just playing catch up the rest of my life. It feels like, yeah, I think I just figured out who Sugar Ray was like 2 years ago.
But yeah, it's also really funny.
Yeah. I also think that the animation for Borderlands, it kind of gives like a comic book vibe to me.
Mm-hmm. The style. Which I love. Incredible. Yeah,
I love the style.
It's nice. Heavy shading, big outlines. Oh, it makes everything look so good.
Oh, yeah. And just the color. This is like, there's very rare occasions, like Absolute Martian Manhunter, when I'm reading a comic that I'm like, I actually want to know who the colorist is because this is awesome. That's kind of how I feel about this. I'm like, actually, I want to know who specifically was in charge of the color scheme. It's great. Phenomenal.
It's so fun and vibrant, the way that games are kind of afraid to be now, it feels like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So before going on too far, I'm going to go back to the other slide. I want to ask you to just kind of like get a breakdown of some of the characters we're talking about. So obviously we're talking about Lilith today. I want to talk some about the Sirens, Roland, Angel, the Crimson Raiders, Ava, pretty much it. Yeah, we have limited time. If you give a breakdown, just who are some of these characters?
Okay, so the Sirens are, there's I think 13 total, but only 6 that we know of. But they all happen to be women. It's not necessarily, you know, like only women have these powers. But they pretty much just get to do magic.
Yeah, because why not?
Why not? But because they were all women, people start calling them Sirens. That's in-universe. That's not the official name, but it is the official name. There's a playable Siren in every game. Lilith is the playable Siren in Borderlands 1. So when I started, in Borderlands 2, I saw Lilith and I was like, oh, she's awesome. Why am I not playing as Lilith? And that's because Zero was in Borderlands 2, and he's way cooler. But I got to play her when I went back to Borderlands 1, which is kind of a hard jump. Like if you play Elden Ring and then go back to the other Dark Souls games, you're like, oh wow, I forgot it was like this. You know, it's just harder to enjoy it the way you used to. But Lilith is actually kind of the main protagonist, which is weird to say, but it really is. Most of the story revolves around her. She's in the most games. She's in, I don't think she's in 4. She's in the rest.
because we didn't touch on it earlier, how would you describe the storyline of Borderlands? Like, what is it about?
Generally, there's groups of people that call themselves Vault Hunters. They're searching for vaults, which are, you know, vaults, ancient vaults, ideally filled with treasure, led by an ancient civilization. And spoiler warning, every time we've seen a vault get opened, it ends really, really badly. Notably, just big world-destroying aliens in there. Yeah, so sure. Sirens are actually major parts of opening a vault, and that's why they're so relevant. They can turn iridium, which I'm not like some great Borderlands Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, we're not experts.
We're not experts. I'm not an expert.
But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Mm-hmm.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
So, their powers are fueled by iridium. They can use their power to convert that into energy, and that's how the vaults get opened, usually. So, that's how that works. So, most of the other sirens in the story that we know look up to Lilith because she's so powerful and just kind of storied. And that's why Borderlands 3 sucks, because they take her powers and she's dead.
Yeah, being dead's not that big a deal.
Yeah. I mean, she's not, like, confirmed dead, but...
You can come back from that.
She wasn't in 4. And she probably can. If you can feed her body some iridium, she probably can come back from that. But that's kind of how she influences the sirens. Her influence is not really siren-esque. You know, she doesn't draw from them. She kind of is the one. The rest of them look up to her. And honestly, yeah. I hear good things about the Borderlands 4 siren, but I think they nailed it on Lilith. I think mm-hmm. she's probably the most fun one to play. You know, they got it right the first try.
Yeah.
So, makes sense to me. Otherwise, Roland. Roland is kind of, you know, they're not together, but they're together, you know. One of those things. So, she looks up to Roland. Roland looks up to her. She'll do anything for him. And honestly, the rest of the squad, absolute classic squad in the first game. You can play as, you know, Lilith. Or you can play as Roland, or Mordecai, or Brick, and they're all so fun. I think probably the most consistent cast. Like, I think Zero in Borderlands 2 is the most fun character to play as in general. But I think, to me, the other characters in Borderlands 2 just aren't as fun, except for maybe Salvatore. All 4 of the first game characters are a lot of fun. Which is saying a lot, because it's more restrictive.
Yeah, and is it 1, the pre-sequel, and 2 are the only ones that are split screen? 3 and 4 you have to do online? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, split screen co-op is still just one of my favorite just forms of entertainment, just in general. So it's great.
Which sucks because, like, as you get older, your eyes get worse, and you need a bigger TV. And
yeah,
it's just unfortunate.
Fine. It's fine, TJ the Pod Almighty. You just keep buying us bigger TVs.
Yeah,
it won't be a problem.
Yeah, just, you know, it sinks a little
because podcasters are notorious for being so wealthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the real problem is people keep designing their living rooms and the couch is like 9, 10, 15 feet away from the TV.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? I'm talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't get a say in these things.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm just the
husband. Anyway, so Roland's kind of always there for her, and I can't really say father figure. That would make it weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean... Wasn't that a thing the kids started doing again? Instead of like a dad bod, they started saying, talking about father figure. Yeah, it can work.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know, why not?
Yeah, you're super, super right.
Not weird at all.
Yeah. Angel, is she appears to you in like holographic visions throughout the game, a Borderlands one at least. She is also a siren, notably the only one that Lilith kind of does take guidance from. But each siren has their own special abilities. Angel's is really cool. It's phase shifting, which allows her to do technopathy. It's super sick. But because of that, I know a lot of people who played the game but don't like remember, like haven't played it a bunch, don't remember the ending. You won't know Angel's a siren because she used that ability to appear as an AI that would just kind of pop up in your, I don't remember what they're called, you know, your phone pretty much, and guide you to what you need to do next. And then the reveal that Angel is a siren and actually the daughter of the main antagonist of the game, Handsome Jack. Really cool. Really cool. So
I still love that that's just his name. It's
Handsome Jack.
Yep. Not Ugly Jack. That's Handsome Jack.
That's Handsome Jack. Very notably so, if you've played the pre-sequel. That's extremely important. But yeah, Jack kind of just kidnaps her, plans to use her to open a vault, and she uses her powers to get around that and lead our team of vault hunters to save her. Yeah. Angel's really cool. You know, rest in peace.
Who are the Crimson Raiders?
The Crimson Raiders are the group. Roland leads the Crimson Raiders. They're like the group of, you know, protagonist-centric NPCs. You're leading the Crimson Raiders. They're fighting for you. Your base is the Crimson Raiders' base, that type of thing. They're the goons. They're the good guys. They're fighting against Handsome Jack and bandits and whatever else may, you know, bring pain to the populace. They also are trying to open the vault too, because you know they want what's in there. So that introduces some problems eventually, and it causes a lot of the friction between them and Handsome Jack and everything else. But yeah, super fun group, super fun bases. It gets pretty emotional, the Crimson Raiders, and yeah.
Yeah, doesn't Lilith take control of it after Roland?
Yeah. Yeah, so Lilith, as the Firehawk, starts to lead the Crimson Raiders, and that's where, you know, they get a lot of their chutzpah from, is fighting for Lilith, who was fighting with and for Roland, and honestly, really, really good story. Now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, man.
Yeah, I just want to play Borderlands again, actually.
Yeah, as funny as Borderlands is, it's also, like, has really potent emotional moments in it.
There's a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice.
Yeah, there's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of vengeance, and
yeah. Speaking of sacrifice, a really dividing character, Ava. This is Borderlands 3. Very much, I would say, influenced by Lilith, but also is it Maya is the siren that she's originally mentored by, and then once Maya dies, somehow she inherits the siren powers.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, Maya. But, by the way.
Yeah. It's Maya. Yeah.
Borderlands 2's siren.
She blames Lilith for Maya's death and is bent on revenge. Come near the end of Borderlands 3, Lilith kind of sacrifices herself and puts Ava in charge of the Crimson Raiders, I think. She does something for Ava at the very end. She, like, gifts her something. I think that's it.
Yeah. But that character sucks. I don't like Borderlands 3. I really don't like this girl. Like, I'm not upset about the concept of, like, inheriting the siren powers, because they're magic, dude. Who cares? You know, you find out you're a siren because at some point when you're growing up, tattoos just appear on your body.
Yeah.
And you're like, sure. Oh, I'm a siren. Cool.
Yeah, so she does hand over the Crimson Raiders over to Ava, so that's what happens. But yeah. Of course, I'm on the bad opinion side of this. It's not that I like her. I just don't dislike her. I feel similar to her how I feel about Star-Lord in Marvel Cinematic Universe right now, where I'm like, that was a good character. I'm still just really, really mad at how stupid he was in the last two movies I've seen him in, you know? I think that's what it is. I don't mind the character. I'm just still mad about the character's decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, and they kill Maya when she's trying to, you know, get Ava back, Troy from Borderlands 3 kills Maya too. So many characters give up so much for Ava, and she's not that likable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the problem, is it too much sacrifice for, okay. You know, I was talking about that with dinner the other day. It's like, I don't mind going somewhere with okay food, but only if I'm paying okay or less than okay prices.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm paying, like, this is bad food prices and the food is okay, I'm fine going there all day. Like, sure, why not? If I'm paying, like, good food prices, okay food's not acceptable. I think that's what she is. It's like, we had so much sacrifice and so much story revolve, and it's like an okay character.
Yeah, you know? or if the vibe's really good,
yeah,
then it's okay. But in Borderlands 3, the vibe's not that good.
Yeah, but I still want to play it again now, too. I want to play all the Borderlands games again now.
Yeah.
So we're talking about all these characters, and specifically this series, we're talking about the faces behind us. You know, who did Lilith influence? Who influenced Lilith? You touched a lot on how Roland really influenced her, someone she looked up to. And we mentioned, you know, she's the Firehawk. She ends up being in charge of the Crimson Raiders. What about Lilith, her leadership style, who she is, really influences the Crimson Raiders or other characters later on, in your opinion?
And that's part of the thing that makes the whole Ava thing not so bad, is that is how Lilith leads. She's always there for her people, any of her people who needs her. So, of course, she's going to sacrifice whatever she has to save Ava, because that's who she is. She's also just super strong. Theoretically, if you give her enough iridium, limitless power. So that's got to be assuring, you know? Found a vein of iridium. We're pretty much untouchable for the next, you know, couple of weeks. So I get it.
Yeah,
I do get it. It's a good moment for Lilith.
Yeah, I think to me, because, you know, Roland was in charge of the Crimson Raiders first, and then Lilith. What's interesting to me is, even though she was definitely influenced by Roland, she wouldn't have cared about the Crimson Raiders otherwise. Roland is like one of those characters who's, we're doing stuff by the rule, very like military structure, you know, whatever kind of stuff. Like, that's how I remember his character being. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost think like Picard or like Benjamin Sisko, like, you know, Star Trek captain that's not Kirk.
Yeah. You know?
Lilith, she was like a rebel. She was like, do what I want, whatever kind of like hothead. Mm-hmm. And she falls into the role not in a, okay, well, now I'm suddenly structured in this, more of like, she lends into the part of her that's passionate and caring about her people. But it's always interesting when you see like the rebellious character become the leader of a group. And I'm glad they didn't go, well, now she's going to be just like Roland. It's just not in the character, you know?
Yeah. And it's what's funny to me. I think the most accurate comparison to a real world leader, to me, I think the best possible comparison is actually George Washington.
Heck yeah.
For Lilith, I mean, if you think about George Washington, at the time, absolute beast of a man. He's like almost a foot taller than the average height at the time.
I just like how often you bring things back to height.
I mean, no, it's relevant here.
But yeah, but it's still funny.
This giant of a man on the front lines, basically begging to die. And it just never happens. Because he believed that when it was time, he would go. He couldn't be shot and killed. George Washington was insane. But Lilith is kind of that same way. She's going to be up there with you, leading from the front, how a leader should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wasn't managing.
She was not managing.
No.
She was leading. That ownership
honestly
really shines.
Hey, friends. It's your pal Will Rose here. And let me break the fourth wall a moment and look directly at you through the camera, or speak directly to you in your earbuds. Yep. I'm talking to you, Susie. You too, Chad. You can now support Systematic Geekology on Fourth Wall. That's a website. You'll find all of our episodes, incredible merch like shirts and hoodies and mugs. Chad, I would love to see you in one of those shirts out in the wild.
You get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that you pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch.
And you can support the show at different levels. You could join at the free level. Yep, we love free members, free support. Join it.
or you could become a sidekick for as little as $5 a month. You could join the elves and dwarves for $10 a month. You could become a wizard for $15 a month, or you could go to divinity school and become a cleric for $20 a month. And that's way cheaper than going to seminary, believe me. Or at $25 a month, you could become a superhero. And let me just say, we love all of our listeners, whether you support us at the free level or the superhero level. We love you. We love geeking out with you. Like, support, share the show. Love you.
I think that's the thing. I think Roland, the structure, all of that, it really makes me feel like a really smoothly running organization or military country. How he led the Crimson Raiders. I'm like, yeah. Lilith almost takes like a pastoral role. She's more, I care about my people. I'm there with my people. She's more focused on the individuals, I feel like, than the actual how the organization runs. Not that she doesn't care about that. It just seems like that's more her focus.
Yeah. Yeah. And she'll offload the other stuff. They have a huge team of capable people.
Yeah. Why am I doing that?
Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Be like, why would I make a change order?
Jeez. I can't count.
Anyway, so, all right, so we talked some about Roland, we talked about the Crimson Raiders. You mentioned Angel earlier. I want to revisit that real quick. How does Angel, who's mostly like not actually there, how does she influence Lilith?
So Angel literally guides you through Borderlands 1, and through that guides Lilith to, you know, her goals, which coincide with Angel's goals, coincidentally. But after, you know, realizing that Angel is like her and the living out her genuine worst fear, which is living in imprisonment and having her powers used for bad things, it just means a lot to her. And she has great empathy for or sympathy for Angel. And that kind of, I can't imagine how mad she actually is. When she finds out, and how much her hate for Handsome Jack increases when she finds out that not only is it his daughter, but his daughter is a siren and also his prisoner. But that is how she does it. She does literally influence Lilith through the entire game.
No, it is interesting, especially because Lilith, again, does not become Angel. She doesn't become Roland, but you can tell how these characters influence her. And then you see how she becomes a leader in her own right, what she does for Ava and all that. So it's really interesting for Faces Behind Us, because she's like smack dab in the middle, you know, where like you see who was behind her and then you see how she's influenced the next thing. So one of the questions we're asking for every episode in this that I'm kind of curious with this one, what would the story be without Lilith? You know, that's, I feel like it's a hard one because she's like a main character, but...
Well, I think the Vault Hunters would just never win.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I'm like, I feel like, because Roland dies that first game still, I think.
Yeah. See, well, the thing is...
There's no way to open the vault.
No, he doesn't.
You don't think
because
so?
Because Angel's actually the one that turns off New Haven's shields.
So you don't think Roland would die?
I think he'd probably die anyway, but not the same way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't see them making it out of that first game alive for any of the other stories to happen. But even if they did, the Crimson Raiders without Lilith, I just don't think they keep trying to open vaults and they keep not opening vaults. Like, I feel like that's all that would happen.
Yeah, Lilith is the key, you know, like you need the vault key still, but you still have to find the vault key, but you need a siren.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just don't think anybody else, especially because the other sirens don't seem to have a lot of leadership skill. So they would basically just be trying to use them to open the vaults. And it would just keep ending poorly. It would just be a terrible, not very fun cycle, actually. Borderlands 2 would suck. That's what would happen.
Borderlands 2 would be awesome. Because it would still exist,
I guess.
But no, the franchise really just wouldn't have made it anywhere near as far as it did without her.
Yeah. So the other one we like to ask every episode is, would you rather be the leader or the follower? So in this case, would you rather be the leader of the Crimson Raiders, or would you rather be one of the Crimson Raiders under Lilith's leadership?
I don't know. I like an underling position where there's, you know, room for growth. I definitely wouldn't mind working for Lilith. You know, I say I'd do anything for her. I'd do anything for most people.
That's accurate. I mean, yeah.
So, I would just, it'd be a lot of fun. I'd be a Crimson Raider. I think leading the Crimson Raiders would kind of suck.
Yeah. I think that's my problem is I'm like, with these, I'm always like 50-50 usually, but this one, I'm really not, because like being a Crimson Raider sounds like not okay. Being the leader of like an organization like that, it's just so much logistics, or you have to care so much.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do either of those things. Like, especially when the goal has to do with like the vaults and the looting and all that. Like, I don't have a passion for those things. Like, if for some reason the Crimson Raiders were like a kitchen, sure. Yeah. I'll become the leader of the Crimson Raid chef.
Yeah.
My team. Yeah. But like a military organization, I don't have the passion for it. I'd rather just Lilith tell me what to do. I'm chill. We can figure it out.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I could do it.
I just wouldn't want to.
It'd be a real pain.
I'd keep trying to think of other things for us to do. Like, why are we opening these vaults? This seems dumb. Let's do something else, guys. We're going to open our own theme park.
Yeah.
We got the tech.
You know what? We're just going to be Iridium miners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing
it's going to be a mining town. Then you guys can still shoot people. As you can be the guards.
Exactly. Oh, man. So I want to think a little bit further, because we talked about the sirens and how, because they're mostly girls, they just called sirens. There's a lot of stigma around the sirens, too, from what I recall. I want to know, like, from your perspective, not just in the game, but in general, how does a name or a title influence how we view someone or whether we allow ourselves to be mentored by them or not? Especially like Lilith. There's a lot of, you know, connotations with that name. She's actually a really good guy. Character. Yeah. But like, you have that name, you have, oh, she's a siren. And there is a lot of stigma around that. I wonder, how does that influence, you know, who she is? And then in real life, how does that influence who we are or who we allow ourselves to be led by?
Yeah. I think it'd be a lot. Also, Lilith, led around by Angel.
Pretty funny. Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
But a title to me doesn't mean much. But if you allow a title to stick, then it, you know, it can affect you if you let it. It's kind of how I feel about most things. If someone, there have been quite a few times where someone come up to you and be like, oh, so-and-so said this. I was like, okay, they're grown. They can say what they want. I don't care. I'm going to keep doing what I do regardless. So it doesn't really matter to me. That's different from taking feedback, for the record. Whole different thing. But it can be a lot, especially when it's widespread, you know, like, oh, those sirens, the witches, which, to be fair, I get it. That's scary. Like, we're in like a super sci-fi, high-tech world. Everything else is, you know, technology or like low fantasy creatures. And these girls do magic.
Yeah.
Just like actual magic. Why? That's horrifying. So I understand the negative connotation behind their names.
Yeah.
They do also have a pretty bad track record of their friends staying alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not great.
Pretty much.
I do think it kind of depends on the circumstance. If we're like looting a town together, I don't really care about your titles that much. If we're doing like a Bible study and then you're like, by the way, I'm super, mind you, we do a church unity thing. Other Christians are Christians too. I'm open to a lot of that stuff. But if we're doing a Bible study together and you're like, by the way, I'm Mormon and I'm going to be reading out of the Book of Mormon for this Bible study. And I'm like, okay, listen, I can see you as a fellow Christian, but it's going to be really hard for me to do a Bible study that, but like, I'm always going to be suspicious of what that person's saying. Cause I know I don't agree with that group, you know, but then I think that's different. Some people, race is a big thing, and I'm like, that's not okay. And even like, I know people who grew up in a church where women past weren't allowed to preach. They've become more open to it, but they're still like have a hard time with the woman as a pastor, and they're trying to be accepted, but they grew up in a certain way and it just makes it harder for them. And I'm like, yeah, that's conditioning is definitely a thing, and it's not your fault. So, you know, I think there are a lot of elements to it. And I think like someone who grew up Pentecostal, people know I grew up Pentecostal. Talking to certain other people in, you know, Christian circles, especially, you know, your academic circles, there's some assumptions get thrown out sometime. And usually I lean into them because I think it's funny. I definitely handle snakes and drink poison all the time.
I do like
it's to be great.
Like, oh, yeah. We're so snake church.
Fun. Yeah.
My church is, yeah. is so far from snake church.
Yeah, we're like, not that at all, but you know. Yeah. So, yeah. And the amount of times, because, you know, we are going to Church Unity podcast, that people are like, oh, well, Catholics don't worship Jesus. And I'm like, that's not quite right. But, like, you know, a lot does get put on titles and it does sometimes make things difficult. But then again, definitely think it depends on what kind of thing we're doing.
Yeah.
Also, country we live in, Democrat, Republican is a big thing. But if you're like, hey, we're going to go loot this thing over here or we're going to go fight this monster, I don't care what church or like political party or anything you're in. Depends on the circumstance.
Yeah. Also, hilarious concept for just showing up to a Bible study. Like, all right, guys, we're reading through Daniel today. And you open your Book of Mormon and you're like, I'm actually going to read 4th Nephi.
I think that's great. Yeah, it's like it, the man. Best bait and switch.
I don't think I've you need to be heard. Here. You misunderstood what a Bible study is.
Anyway.
But they would solve that problem. And be like, oh, you guys don't have one? Here's, I brought 7.
Yeah, they're prepared. And, you know, we've had friends who are from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or whatever, and they're cool. Again, still just don't agree on certain things. I will read the Book of Mormon because I'm curious.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't believe the Book of Mormon.
I'll read any biblical text.
Yeah, why not?
I just been kicked out of the Bible, excised from the church. Give it to me. Give it to me. What denomination reads just this? I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So we mentioned loveless sacrifices, roll-in sacrifices. There are a lot of sacrifice in this game, usually by the leadership. In your opinion, how important is sacrifice to leadership?
It depends. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing.
Yeah.
When the need arises, you have to be willing.
But not just sacrifice for sacrifice sake.
No. I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah. People who just try to be the victim.
Yeah. I hate that. I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. I can't stand it when someone's like, let my character do it. I'll die for it. Mm-hmm. Just not necessary, man.
Literally, that used to be what
No one has to die here.
Not for D&D, other tabletop that we played. That used to be my go-to. And then I'm like, you know, why am I doing this?
It's like, it's not noble. It's stupid. You're stupid.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree. I think it's important when the need arises that the leader's the one that steps up and makes the sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I'm going to go Tony Stark, Captain America. Both have a point. I like Captain America a lot more. But that one argument they have of like where Cap's like, you would never lay on the wire for the other man. And Tony's like, yeah, just cut it, dude. They both have a point. You need to be willing to make the sacrifice as the leader. But also, if you just cut the wire, just cut the wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sacrifice isn't like the first answer, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's weigh our options. And then if someone needs to lay on that wire, I'll do it.
Also, though, real funny, then this is relevant. I love when this is relevant. Another episode on this podcast, we did the Geeks on a Roll, and Christian and Liz were playing through a scenario that I had panned out. It was a Bible study. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Heaven Escape Room. So you guys can go back and look up Geeks on a Roll, Heaven Escape Room. They had Steve Rogers as one of their characters, and it was a roll. There's a 6-sided die that I rolled, and whichever roll, one of the characters was just going to go to hell for a bit. It was just part of the story. And it just so happened that when Steve Rogers read, they did the roll and he was the one that fell. So they all thought that whoever read was just going to disappear. It's not what was happening at all. Just really terrible coincidence. But every single time they get back and Steve Rogers is there, he's like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice. Let me read. that's not even what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny though.
Yeah.
Because that is, you know, that is what Steve Rogers would do, but it's still like, not necessary, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts about Lilith, the faces behind us, the themes of Borderlands, why everyone should play Borderlands 2,
etc.? Yeah, I think Maya's cool and all, but if you could play as Lilith in Borderlands 2, Borderlands 2 might be the perfect video game.
Lilith is cool. I really want to go play Borderlands again. Actually, I think I have the whole franchise except for 4 on my Steam Deck because I sold it as like a pack at some point on sale near Christmas time.
Yeah, I'm sitting here wondering if I also bought that. I'm about to go check. Because I know I
that might be that might be what I'm geeking out on next time. We'll see. You'll know if I have it or not. Yeah. All right, then. All that said, I think it's time to start wrapping this one up. And naturally, we are going to do a bonus question at the end. I'm going to ask, what other video game would it be cool to see Lilith in? If we just take her and drop her in another game, where would we like to see her? So we're going to talk about that after this episode. If you guys want to become official members, check that out. You can hear our thoughts on that. For now, though, if you had to give a recommendation, TJ, something people could go read, play, watch, etc. What are you going with?
Well, if you have 2.5 hours to spare and you like murder mysteries and you haven't seen Wake Up Dead Man, A Knives Out Story, it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think it is easily the best one. And I think if you're listening to this show, you'll probably feel the same way. It is.
Yeah.
It's a murder mystery, and it becomes so profound and beautiful through the resolution of the story, because it revolves around two priests. But man, it's so good. It's genuinely maybe a religious experience for some people. Maybe for me. Like, it is truly shocking.
I mean, the themes I've heard that's in it would make sense.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Also, phenomenal mystery.
Yeah.
Like, it looks so well written.
Man, I do want to watch that really bad. So other than Borderlands, because obviously I do think everybody should play Borderlands, Strange Tales, Marvel Comics 2025 run with Jeremy Whitley. I've been reading through them because of other things I've been kicking out on lately, and it's actually pretty, you know, not a very long series, but it's pretty good. So I recommend checking that out, especially if you're a big reader. Also, rate and view our show wherever you get your podcast. It really helps the algorithms think that we're important, so other people will check out the show, and we really appreciate that. We also appreciate our financial supporters like James Barrett. James, you're amazing. Thank you so much for your monthly contributes, your membership, all that, and just for being a part of what we're doing here. If you guys want your own shout out, you can be like James, become an official member on our website using the link that's in the show's description. Same link, you can find extra content. You can leave a one-time financial gift without being a member. You can buy some merch, like our Faces Behind Us t-shirt. Looks good in purple. Check it out. I think it's worth it. Speaking of the faces behind us, if you want to see more episodes like this that are part of our annual theme, there's a playlist of all these episodes. Another link in the show description. A lot of links down there. Check them out. Keep geeking out with us. We appreciate your time, and we enjoy having you as part of what we're doing. Yeah. And with that, of course, we also need you to do one extremely important thing for us, which is to remember that we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests. Till next time.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason, or even for even reasons I don't understand, you want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page. And we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
This show is a proud member of the Onazal Podcast Network. Other shows on the network include Be Living Water, where Joshua Knoll discusses various topics from a Taoist Christian perspective, inviting listeners to imitate Christ and be water, beneficial to all, and a conflict with none. Friday Night Frights, Day and Christian Ashley discuss all things frightful, from UFOs to the paranormal to serial killers and more. Kung Fu Pizza Party, where Brandon discusses all things martial arts media, delivering high-flying action and wisdom, one slice at a time, all in under 30 minutes. And my other show, with Christy Whaley, Theology on the Rocks, where two theology PhDs talk about our lives, the world, and theology, all over drinks, clearly. Come on over each week to hear two besties discuss academic nerd stuff while also banter endlessly, especially if wine is involved.